In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The 95 Theses were not a declaration of independence, but a plea for debate. The Church speaks. She fights not with swords or clubs or spears, but she fights with the Word of God. She can do no other, for God has placed that word in her hands and on her heart so that it might flow from her lips. She believes, and so she speaks. She listens, and then she speaks back the truths contained therein. She concerns herself with the doctrines of Scripture because they are one and the same. Doctrine is not just some of the Scriptures. Doctrine is the Scripture. And the Scriptures are doctrine. Whether we speak about who God is, who Christ is, the way of salvation, or how one is to live on this earth, we are speaking about doctrine. The Church puts forth the doctrines of Christ, not her own doctrine. She teaches from the pulpits throughout Christendom not what men opine or think to be true, but what Christ has revealed to be true in his word. She listens, and so she speaks. When we judge a church based on a pastor's charisma, on a church's hospitality, or on ceremonies, candles, or even historicity, we will fall into error. When we forget that doctrine is to be our chief love, that is, the Word of God is to be our chief love, then we again will slip. A name can tell us something about a church, but not everything. Ceremonies can tell us something, but not everything. The Church must speak the Word of God. Doctrine must be taught, which again is nothing more than to say Scripture alone must reign among us. There are better documents than the 95 Theses. That didn't make the cut for the Lutheran confessions. But we commemorate Luther's posting of them because it was the beginning of the debate. In Luther's day, the Church had stopped talking about doctrine and was putting forth only the opinions of popes and bishops, and thus had fallen away from the Word of God. It talked about what the councils and the fathers had said, whether right or wrong, instead of what Christ had revealed in his word. The Church had slipped because she forgot her true love. Luther reignited the discussion. Discussion based on the Word of God. Unless he was proved wrong by that Word of God, he would not recant from what he believed and taught. The Church must proclaim the Word, not the opinions and thoughts of men. You don't come here to listen to what I think about whatever latest issue or the way to heaven. You come here to hear your God speak to you eternal truths. The Church must speak. The Word alone comforts our conscience. The Word alone justifies us so that we can stand before God pure and holy on the merits of Christ, not on our own merits. In the days of Luther, there were others who tried reformations as well, usually known as the Radical Reformation. Some denied baptism. Others denied Holy Communion. Some sought that the peasants should achieve more economic prosperity and sought to do away with hierarchies. Others sought to further their own reformation with swords. And then we have the Counter-Reformation by the Roman Catholics that sought to reinforce their own heresies and teachings. Some of the Lutherans gave in to the Catholics, thinking they could have the outward appeal to the Catholics and submission to them while retaining Lutheran doctrine. They loved unity above the Word of God. Others looked to the other side, the Calvinists and the Zwinglians, to downplay baptism and Holy Communion to achieve unity with them. Still others remain steadfast. And so I ask you, why do you come here? Why do you willingly take on that title of Lutheran instead of Orthodox, Catholic, or Calvinistic, or non-denominational? Maybe it's because your parents brought you here, and you grew up a lifelong Lutheran. I doubt it's because you have German ancestry and you love their culture more than anything else. So again, why are you Lutheran? Because you are convinced that what Luther recovered is the true word of God and the right doctrine of Scripture. Or to state it simply, you believe salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and that is revealed in Scripture alone. Every other denomination, whether Baptist, non-denominational, Catholic, or Orthodox, every other one falls short in that phrase, failing to teach it fully. So let us unpack that simple phrase, because when the church stops speaking doctrine, when we give in only to slogans and forget what they mean, we will become an empty church that will drift away. First, salvation is by grace alone. What is grace? Grace is God's undeserved love for the sinner. It is not something God infuses in us, but it is something in the heart of God that moves him to forgive the sinner. But God cannot simply forgive for the sake of love. He also must be just and holy. The soul that sins must die, and the sinner cannot enter the presence of him who is holy. So grace planned Christmas and sent his only begotten Son to become man, born under the law, to redeem us who were under the law. It is Christ who is lifted up by grace, bearing your sins, shouldering your cross, dying your death, so that God might forgive you. This is the grace of God manifest. Jesus winning forgiveness on his cross for all. Not one person was forgotten, not one sin was left out. Christ alone has accomplished salvation for all. But he does not give that salvation at his cross. So going on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, having a piece of the wood, a nail, or some other artifact of the cross cannot give you that forgiveness. So this too is the grace of God manifest, the word and the sacraments. The preaching of the word, baptism, and Holy Communion are not the works of man, but they are the works of God himself, who continues to be gracious to man today. It is he who baptizes and preaches. It is he who serves the Holy Supper so that you might have the forgiveness of sins that he won by his cross. Many Protestants reject God's activity today in word and sacrament and restrict him only to something that he did at his cross. But salvation is by grace alone, won by Christ and freely given to you by Christ, so that you might be certain and sure that God loves you and has redeemed you. Salvation is through faith alone. Faith alone receives the forgiveness that Christ gives. Faith makes us all equal before God, whether we are young or old, the newest of Christians or a lifelong Christian. Faith makes us all equal, regardless of what works we accomplish on this earth, or what notoriety we have, or how we are remembered. We stand shoulder to shoulder with St. Mary and with all the apostles, prophets, and evangelists by faith. Faith makes us equal because we all have received the same forgiveness. We all have the same righteousness draped over our shoulders. We all have the same Christ who died to redeem us We all have been baptized into the same regeneration. We all have eaten the same supper, and we all have heard that same absolution. Notice faith doesn't look inward at itself. Faith is constantly looking outward. Faith is only as good as the object of your faith. And the object of our faith is Christ. So we look outward at what Christ has done, at his life, his death, his resurrection. There we find salvation won for us. We look outward at Christ's baptism, Christ's absolution, and Christ's supper. This is how Christ gives that salvation to us today. So we confess that salvation is in Christ alone. And apart from him, there is no salvation. Again, many Roman Catholics and Protestants would ask you to look inward at your feelings, your decisions, your piety, your attitude, your works, so that you might know whether you have faith or not. Scripture would have us direct our attention outward at Christ, what is true and objective. If salvation is by grace alone through faith alone, then all works must be excluded, whether before or after conversion. Before conversion, we were dead in our sins. A dead person cannot raise himself. So we could not give ourselves faith. It comes from the life-giving voice of our Lord and Savior, who has power over life and death. You have faith because God implanted faith in your heart, raising you from the dead when he spoke his word to you and poured water over your head. Even now, our works do not complete our faith. Faith is complete in and of itself. But that doesn't mean that works are irrelevant and we care little about them. We believe that the Christian does great works of love within his vocation. They do not complete faith, but they are fruits of faith. They show to those around us that we are Christians, that we belong to someone else. They even show to God the faith that he put in our hearts, even though he can see our hearts. So before God, we have only faith. But before the world, we have works. So this is why we are Lutherans, because we believe that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and that is revealed in Scripture alone. Every other denomination falls short in teaching that phrase. This is nothing new. This is the teaching of our Lord and Savior revealed in the sacred scriptures for our learning. Dr. Luther didn't start anything new. He reformed. He took out that which was erroneous so that the word of God might have primacy among men yet again. Other denominations fall short. I'm not saying that they are somehow unbelievers. I can't see their hearts. But I am saying that I can see what they teach, and what they teach is not the full breath of God's word. So we continue to speak. In an age where we vilify our opponents, those who don't agree with us, as the worst of men, we are willing to speak with anyone who wants to talk about the word of God. We continue to learn doctrine and to speak that doctrine, and we find Luther's Small Catechism to be a beautiful summary of sacred scripture. If we stop talking, we will slip. If we stop teaching doctrine, we will slide away from the truth. We hear and we speak. We hear not the opinions of men or the thoughts of a pastor. We hear the word of God preached to our ears, so that we too might believe there is a Savior from sin and death who loves us in spite of what we have done, and then encourages us to live a life of thanks and praise. The Reformation matters not because of the 95 Theses, not because of Dr. Luther, not because of German culture or the cultural upheaval that really went on at that time. The Reformation matters because it restored the Word of God to the hearts of men. And it held that Word alone in the conscience. No one else can condemn us, for that Word has declared us holy and righteous. No church body will endure forever, but that Word will. No amount of vestments or candles or ceremonies or ancient history of one's denomination can save, but the Word of God can. So let us cling to that Word of God in sincere and devout faith. Let us tenaciously hold the doctrines of Scripture, so beautifully summarized in that simple phrase, salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, revealed in Scripture alone. On this we stand. May God help us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.